Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Spiritual wellness and physical health with your hosts Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Hello, how are you all this evening? I hope you are well and happy and enjoying the very first crisp evenings here of fall here in the Northeast. And I am so excited tonight to be here to talk to you all about Mabon and to share that with Lisa. Lee, are you with me?
I'm here.
Yay, my happy co-host.
I'm Eeyore. I'm Eeyore tonight. I have a cloud that's following me around.
Oh. Well,
but I got to say, the baby learning to say pizza was pretty fun tonight.
That's cute.
Yeah, we tried to get her to say taco, and all we got was go-go.
Aw.
But, you know, she did learn how to say mini, so I know Sammy was happy with her Disney trip coming up in, like, 4 days.
God, that went fast.
I know, right? She leaves on Monday. Well, I guess it's 7 days.
Huh.
Because she leaves Monday morning.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so the baby can say mini, so she's happy about that. But otherwise,
so
same stuff, different day.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I'm just exhausted. Today, I'm not even sure why. I didn't really do very much. The kids had off from school, so Perry had one of her little friends here, and that kept her occupied most of the day. But I don't know. I just really
tired.
You
didn't babysit today, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Nice to know that other people get woken up at 5 a.m. though, too.
Yeah. Not me today, though, fortunately.
Not you. No. Not you.
Not me. Not today.
No, not you. Not you.
But anyway, so we're here to talk about Mabon.
Dun-dun-dun.
So you know,
for anyone who is listening, I loaded up, right before we got on tonight, I loaded up the pictures from the craft ideas that, A, I'm going to be doing, and, B, some other ones that I found that are really simple that I think I can get the point across once you see the picture.
Awesome.
So I already loaded those pictures up. So that if anybody listening wants to go over to our Spiritual Wellness Facebook page, they can see the pictures, and hopefully while I'm talking, they will understand what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
Because, you know, I always worry about that when it comes to talking about crafts online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you can see it and do it with no problem, but
mm-hmm.
if you can't see it, what your brain interprets
yeah.
and what mine interprets are completely different.
Yeah, that's very true. So,
what did you come up with?
Well, I have a couple of recipes and some things, sort of, I don't want to say rituals, but things that people do at this time of year, workings, things you can do in working, or just for fun, or just because you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you. One of the cool things about this time of year is it's sort of like the herb harvest, and so now it's time to sort of dry herbs and hang them, bring them in, and one of the nice things to do is to make a broom out of dried, well, not dried, but when you cut down the rosemary, rosemary and lavender, and you can use that to sort of sweep negativity out of the house. And then you can let it dry, and it'll smell great in wherever you leave it in the house
mm-hmm.
all winter long, kitchen, bathroom, bedroom, wherever.
And you don't have to, well, I would think, you tell me if I'm wrong, you don't have to use a lot. It
mm-hmm.
could be, you know, a small, like one of those little small brooms like you could use
mm-hmm.
in the bathroom as a sachet. So if you don't have a lot, don't think you can't complete the project.
Absolutely.
Also, another thing you can do with those herbs, and I know this is going to sound really bad, but like if you're making steak for dinner or you're making, you know, something for dinner, you can take bundles of those fresh herbs and you can beat the protein with it,
mm-hmm.
which will give you the flavor as well.
Right.
I don't know if I would particularly dry some herbs that I beat chicken with,
mm-hmm.
just for the salmonella issue.
Right.
You know, because then if you go and use it in food later, who knows what might happen.
Right.
But, you know, that's definitely something I would hang in my kitchen, and I have before. Because it does. It just smells so good. And if you put it, I have one of those expandable curtain rods across
mm-hmm.
between the cabinets and where my kitchen window is, and my sink is there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot nicer to do the dishes when you smell lovely herbs than dirty, greasy dishes.
Yeah, agreed. So aside from the little herb brooms, there were lots of other things you can, you cut the apple in half, not the long way, but the other way.
Horizontally,
thank you.
Yes.
And when you do that, you know, you'll see the little star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you cut that out in a column as if you were coring the apple, you can use those little stars to make, you know, stamps for paper projects, for stationery, just for fun things with kids.
Also, just letting them dry and adding them to your potpourri makes it just look a little prettier.
That's true, too. Yeah, absolutely true.
Look at that. Look
we're
at
so
you
cool.
coming up with crafties.
There you go.
You're killing me.
Also, yeah. Also, as far as recipes go, for this time of year, I'm a big one on stews and soups. And I
mm-hmm.
love to make stews and soups anyway.
Right.
Tonight, for example, I made lamb stew for dinner with egg noodles. And the kids loved it. But it was just that kind of day today. It was
mm-hmm.
Chilly here and overcast. And it was just, okay, I need something warm. And, you know, stick to your ribs. The other thing
absolutely.
To do this
and
time,
you can use all those root vegetables that are coming up now.
Absolutely. Tonight in my stew, I used carrots and potatoes, of course. But I also put cauliflower and broccoli in because this is the time of year for those.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can put some squash.
Well, I put the last zucchini from the garden. I put a couple
mm-hmm.
of the last zucchinis in there, which was, you know, just delicious. And I actually threw in a couple of green tomatoes because I have tomatoes sitting on the vine that are not going to ripen in time.
Right.
I mean, we've got a ton of tomatoes. and they've all just been hanging on the vine, being green now for about 2 weeks. It's just not getting quite warm enough to get them to be ripe.
Okay.
So it's kind of sad, but
it's
just
true.
An experiment. I threw them in, and that was good. And it actually came out really good. They kind of just acted as almost like a thickener.
Mm-hmm.
In the stew, and it actually came out kind of creamy.
Yep. You can also, if you want to, and I've done this before, take some of those green tomatoes, dice them up, and use them in place of red tomatoes in, like, salsa.
Mm-hmm.
And you can freeze it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great to take out anytime. I mean, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, wait,
mm-hmm.
I've got frozen green tomato chili in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, frozen green tomato salsa. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a wonderful thing. And since you started with a craft, I'm going to start with a recipe that I found.
There you go.
And it was funny that this one came up because I know that Brussels sprouts is kind of like lima beans in that it can be the redheaded stepchild of the
mm-hmm.
vegetable world. People don't usually, like, when they're going to pick out a veg, go for Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my husband does, but, you know, he's strange. But I found a recipe that I think for this time of year would be lovely. They halved them. They grilled them with pieces of bacon and apple.
Hmm.
And they just grilled them like you would grill, you know, any of your root vegetables. And
mm-hmm.
it looks absolutely delicious. And I'm sure it's a matter of a little olive oil, toss it around in a bowl with all
mm-hmm.
your, about, you know, make your apple chunks about the same size as your Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chop up your bacon, and then you just put it all in a pan, maybe a little salt and pepper. If you like, you know, like a provincial blend, or you have a favorite blend that you like on your roasted vegetables, feel free, of course, to put that in there. I would probably do a little Tuscan seasoning. I happen to really like that combination. And, you know, it's maybe, depending on how you like them, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, you know, maybe half an hour. If you like them more al dente versus if you like your vegetables a little more soft, you can
mm-hmm.
just leave them in a little bit longer and just try a piece.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you'll be able to see what's best for you.
Yeah.
As far as crafting, I have one sitting on my table that I'm working on this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Michael's. I'm sure you could go to AC Moore's or whatever craft type store you have in your area, maybe a Hobby Lobby. Oh my God, did I say that?
Mm-hmm.
And there is, they sell these fake foam pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you carve a hole in the top the size of one of those fake candles that flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put flowers because you can poke through the styrofoam pumpkins. So
mm-hmm.
I have some sunflowers, I have some leaves, I have some mums, and you put them around the opening, and you put the candle in it, and it becomes a really nice decoration for your table, your altar. They sell these pumpkins in every size, so you could probably even do it for your front porch because it's a fake candle,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to worry about burning down your house from the outside when you're not paying attention. You could use real flowers if you wanted to. You know, if you were going to do this, you could do it with a real pumpkin and real flowers. Of
mm-hmm.
course, then you have to worry about it, you know, starting to mush up and the flowers are going to die and stuff. But if you wanted something that would last all year round, you can, you know, use the dried stuff and the fake candle and you're doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really liked that one.
That sounds nice, yeah. Like that.
And it's something you can do with the kids because the only part of it that really is an issue is cutting out the hole in the pumpkin. And
mm-hmm.
so if mom or dad cuts out the hole in the styrofoam, the foam pumpkin, then, of course, everything else the kids can do because it's just a matter of poking the stems. And if you're using the artificial flowers, the stems are very sturdy and wired. So you can put them in, you can curve them around, you can hide that bald spot or whatever you might have, you know, that you don't like. And then mom can go back, if she's a like me, and fill in all the holes after the kids are bored and done.
mm-hmm.
because we know that for me it has to be perfect. But yeah, so that was one, that was the first thing I found, the first thing I thought of, because I know myself I was going to be doing it, so.
Mhm. Nice. Well, since we're talking about things that we're going to be doing, one of the things I wanted to try myself is, you know, I've been experimenting with making a lot of bread recently.
Yes.
And I was looking around at recipes today, and I found kind of a cute idea. It's a little bit intensive, but if you were going to have a gathering of people for a holiday, it might be fun. It's making bread, and then you buy these little the terracotta clay pots.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And you put the bread dough in the clay pot. You have to grease it first, and then you bake them. And then when everybody sits down at their place, they get their own little clay pot of bread.
Wow, you could probably do that with, like, corn muffins and stuff like that as well.
Exactly, yep. But, you know, you could do, like, rosemary bread, or you could do
sure.
a garlic bread, or you could, and you could even at that point put a few sprigs of the herb sticking out of the bread so that people would know that's the herb that's in the bread. I just thought that was kind of cute, and could make a nice little thing for people to take home as well at the end of a gathering. So you could make extra, or you could
tie a bow in it and you're set.
Right, or even use it to hold. You know how they have those like silverware things that you hold that hold your napkin and your silverware. You could, you know, stick people's silverware down in there. I'd have to experiment with that and how well that would stay, but you have to have a taller pot.
Well, if you're doing a big gathering and you're using the plastic stuff, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because that
exactly.
would definitely hold up without a problem.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good
that's
idea.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, I just
I
thought
love
that was really cute.
And you know what the first thing that – go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the first thing that popped into my head when you started talking about it was your amazing goddess chili. And cornbread. That's why the cornbread came out, because I'm thinking, oh, you make that great three-bean goddess vegetarian chili. How awesome would that be with cornbread on the side? And you can also put herbs in your cornbread, too.
Yes, I do that all the time. I actually always put in some actual, like, frozen corn from the freezer in my cornbread, and then I usually put cilantro in my cornbread because I just love you could put cilantro and goat cheese. If I could figure out a way to put one or both of those in anything I could eat, it would make me happy all day long. And black beans. Black beans, I love black beans.
You would love this thing I saw on the Chew today. It was, now, of course, it was lima beans, but you could change it up for black beans. And they took some onion and some fresh corn that they took right off the ears. You know, they used one of those peelers for corn. And they fried it. But you could roast it up, and it was a bunch of beans, and then there was, I think, some peppers in there, and they threw some diced tomatoes, like, right at the end so they didn't get too cooked down, and they sprinkled goat cheese on the top of that when it was all done.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's good, too. That's another, you know, any of your vegetables, your seasonal vegetables at this time of year, you taught me, roasted are just amazing. I've got my daughter-in-law making it all the time. I'm making it all the time. Something I never did until, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And now I can't stop doing it, and everybody loves it.
Roasted vegetables are so simple and
exactly.
so good for you, and everybody loves them. And, you know, it's just such a simple way to do it. You know, all the you know, oh, you got to cut them up and steam them, and if you oversteam them, then, you know, you ruin the vegetables and they get mushy.
Yep.
Well, you know what? If you just take a bowl and throw in a bowl whatever kind of root vegetables you want, whatever kind of squash you want that comes out at this time of year, and mix them all together, it doesn't matter. Take turnips and acorn squash and carrots and potatoes and onion, whatever it is that you want to throw in there, and then just toss them in a little olive oil, a little salt and pepper, and if you feel the need to put some kind of herb on them, you know, herbs de Provence is sometimes a nice one at this time of year. Whenever you want to sprinkle on them, you want to sprinkle a little ginger on them, some you know, whatever. If it's if you've got a lot of like acorn squash in there, you might want to do a little ginger and cinnamon. sweet potatoes, you know, also
a little brown sugar.
Yeah, a little brown sugar.
That would caramelize right on the top from the oven.
Absolutely. And as long as you toss them in olive oil first, you can pretty much put anything on them after that. And then just put them in the oven at, you know, normal 350 for anywhere from 20 minutes to half an hour, depending on how densely you've put them on the cookie sheet. And you need one of those cookie sheets that has a lip. Otherwise, the oil will just run off. Not one of those
I've
totally
flat ones.
I've also
done them in those ZB pans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do them in a ZB
pan. It takes a little longer because they're not spread out so far.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank you every time I make them. And, you know, what's really funny, too, is I've come up with, like, two different, what would you call it, palettes. I've got the one that I consider the Italian one where I add in peppers and, you know, things that are more, like, Italian-flavored.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll use my Tuscan seasoning. And then I'll do the ones that are more like the potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sweet potato, the regular potato, the carrots, the more root vegetable one.
If you can afford them, what really looks cool is to do white sweet potatoes and those purple potatoes together.
Oh, I love
the
purple potatoes.
And the flavors of those three, and then maybe throw carrots in for another little different color.
Little sweetness.
And that just looks, and it just looks so beautiful on the plate. When you dish them out, everybody just looks like, look how pretty.
Ooh, what is that? And, you know, you also have, now, some people don't like to roast broccoli or cauliflower.
Mm.
More so broccoli, because it does burn the little tree.
Okay. I have a trick for this because I've roasted so many vegetables.
Sure.
When you do the broccoli, you cut the stems off the broccoli and you chop those up and you put those in the pan first. And you let them roast, and then about 15 minutes before they're done, you throw the florets, the tops of the broccoli, in and sort of mix them in, and because they will cook faster than the stems.
Right. Absolutely.
And then they'll be fine. And you want to cook them till they're just fork tender.
Right, because then you don't have to worry about the what my kids used to call the tree part, getting that burn, because that then bitters everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Cauliflower, so delicious, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cauliflower, olive oil, you roast it, and when it's just about done, you sprinkle some breadcrumbs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets like, almost like it's like deep fried, but it's not.
I do that with Parmesan cheese.
Yes,
and the Parmesan cheese dehydrates a little bit on the cauliflower, and it just gets like this crispy crust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Like those Parmesan tweels. It gets like the tweels.
And the other thing that I always tell people sometimes call me up, and they're like, I have all these roasted vegetables you were telling me that I should roast, and now they're sitting in the fridge, and I don't know what to do with them. And I tell people to put them in the blender or in the mixer or in your food processor and make mashed roasted vegetables and use them instead of mashed potatoes. Add a little butter, add a little milk, just like you would normally for mashed potatoes. Frickin' delicious.
Right. Now, do you know that since you gave me that whole roasting thing that you taught me how to do, I now, you know when you make sausage and peppers?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're supposed to do the sausage in the oven, and then you put the peppers in the pot and the onions in the pot, and you saute them in the pot, and you add the peppers back in, and you sort of let them go? No, not anymore. Mm-hmm. I roast my peppers and onions at the same time as I'm cooking my sausages.
Ah.
And then I mix it all together if you want to add sauce. Some people add sauce. Some people don't. I've seen people who like to eat it where you just take the peppers and onions and put them on your sausage sandwich if you're having it that way.
Right.
But what's really, really cool is this way, if your kid doesn't like onions but they like the peppers, you don't have to have that picking out situation.
Right.
And not only that, but everything's cooked at the same time. And then what you do is if you're going to add your small amount of sauce, you take a little red wine and you hold your cookie sheet over the bowl or the pot, wherever you're going to mix everything together, and you deglaze all that goodness off the bottom of your cookie sheet with a little bit of wine. Now, if you can't do wine, you can do the cooking wine.
Mm-hmm.
I've done both, and the cooking wine works the same.
You can also use vegetable broth. Yeah,
you can do that, but it gets all those little bits, you know, all that great goodness that's in the bottom of the pan, and it gets it all back into your recipe. So it looks like this is the season for roasting.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing. The other thing, too, you've probably found is after you've roasted the vegetables and you stick them in the fridge because there's leftovers, people will pick at them. They'll open the container and pick out, well, I want the carrots. The carrots are really good. I'm going to pick the carrots. And somebody else will come along and be like, I want the potatoes out of there. And you know, they'll go. And better to have my kids snacking on roasted vegetables than potato chips. So
the other thing I love is you can add asparagus, you can add Brussels sprouts to any of the combinations we've talked about.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't become everything tastes like this or everything tastes like that.
That's right.
If you spread them out enough, they maintain their own flavors, and you can mix it any way you want.
Exactly. So if you have somebody in the family who just will not eat Brussels sprouts, yuck, fine, then just don't give them any Brussels sprouts.
Right. And what's nice is they can pick them out themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the pan, which is really great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have two craft ideas that can go together.
Okay.
It's one idea, but you can do several different things. You take a plain ivory candle. And they're showing it as using a real candle. For the first one, I think a real candle is going to give you the biggest benefit. But on the second one, I'm not so sure about whether a real candle is the way to go, unless you're going to be monitoring it. The first thing they did is they took cinnamon sticks. Now, you can get those in the craft store. They're just bundles of wood-type sticks that smell like cinnamon. You usually see them. You can find them with, oh, my gosh, I see it, pine cones. You know, they douse them in that cinnamon smell. You can find sticks the same way. And what they did was is they took the sticks and they put them around this plain, you know, cream-colored candle. Now, I don't know if it had a vanilla scent. It probably could have. And then tied it with some raffia. So as you burn the candle, it warms the sticks and the cinnamon smell comes out.
Yeah. And just as an aside, there are many men who find the smell of cinnamon and the smell of vanilla very, almost like an aphrodisiac, very,
very
arousing,
appealing.
Very homey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll make them amorous.
Exactly.
Just as an aside.
As an aside. Now, if you can do the same thing. They show it with a larger candle, more like one of those two-wick candles. You know, they're probably 4 inches in diameter as opposed to your normal 2.5. And they took the feed corn, you know, the dried feed corn that you can get this time of year for Halloween and holiday decorations, and they did the same thing, but they surrounded the candle in all these different small little feed corn ears and also tied it together with raffia. Now, I don't think that would necessarily have a delicious smell, and I wonder whether or not burning a real candle, if you're not going to watch it.
You might wind up with popcorn.
It actually looks beautiful. So, I mean, if you're doing a Maybon celebration where you're going to have a lot of people around, I think it would be a lovely thing to do because there's, you know, somebody will notice if something doesn't quite gel. But it looks about the size of a dinner plate. So it's a substantial centerpiece. And then you can add, you know, if you live on the woods like I do or you do, and you find really nice leaves, you can actually lay the leaves flat beforehand, maybe put them in a book, you know, put them in the phone book since we don't really use the phone book for anything anymore. put them on pages in the phone book, you know, underneath something heavy. And then when you take them out, you can lay them flat around the bottom of the plate. And what a lovely holiday centerpiece. That really doesn't cost a lot because I know those ears of feed corn, you can get like little bundles of 5 or 6 of them for a couple of bucks. Excuse me. I also saw something on that same table that was, you know, the Christmas tree cookie displays? Where there's the big plate at the bottom, then a middle plate is smaller, and then the top plate is tiny. They took something like that, and they just covered it with nuts and the little baby gourds and some leaves and some the corn with the husks attached, and it made it absolutely beautiful centerpiece. Now, you know, you wouldn't eat the feed corn or the, you know, some of the seed pods, but if you add some walnuts or something like that to it, it would absolutely be really, really pretty. And on that note, I think we're ready for a break.
Sounds like a plan. When we come back, I did some research today about how to harvest walnuts. The walnuts are falling at this time of year off the trees if you have them near you. And I'll talk about how to identify them as well, the trees. So we'll come back and we'll talk about walnuts.
Right. And we're hoping tonight that our song is going to be Round and Round by your friend and mine, Music for the Goddess.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you.
at the end.
Spiritual wellness and physical health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, everybody, and we are back. Lee, are you still with me there, my friend?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. We were talking before the break. You were mentioning about, you know, nuts and things like that, and that reminded
yes.
me that today I actually we have a few black walnut trees out and about and around in the woods here and on my neighbor's property, and they
mm-hmm.
never use the walnuts.
Okay.
And I think I know why now, because I looked up how to harvest them today on the internet, and I looked at a few different websites, and they all pretty much said the same thing. Once they start to fall, that's when you harvest them. They come in this green casing. They look like little green golf balls. They're actually a little bigger than golf balls. And you would never notice that they are walnuts. You would just think it was some sort of large green fruit.
Seed
or
pod.
Something. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But the green casing that they come in is almost impossible to get the nuts out. I don't even know how the first people did this.
Or even
because,
thought to do it.
Exactly. They must have seen animals doing it. That's the only thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Or found something half open or something.
Exactly. The couple of websites I visited said, take a bunch of these green-cased walnuts,
mm-hmm.
put them on gravel in your yard or on like hard-packed earth.
Okay.
And run your car over them a few times.
I'm sorry, can you just see my neighbor across
uh-huh.
the street? And you know how we watch each other's stuff.
Because uh-huh, yeah.
I know you know Bill. But can you uh-huh. just see him coming out of the house going, Lee, what are you doing over there? Is the car okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, I'm just shelling my walnuts.
Yeah, exactly. So
he would
so
go back
run
in the house and call the men in the white coats.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Like, people are going to think I'm a nut job, you know. So it says here on the website, you run them over so that the green casings will split open. And then
okay.
you have to put on gloves, pry open the green casing because there's like a stain inside the green casing once you take it off from the walnuts.
Okay.
Like that black stain. And then and if you get it on you, it'll stain you. It'll be on there for weeks. So then
okay.
you have to, then you do that, and then you take the walnuts when they're in their regular walnut shell that we're used to seeing them in.
Oh, so inside the green is the regular walnut shell.
Correct. And then you
okay.
have to let them cure in the shell for 2 weeks in let's say like a dark basement. You just put them in the basement and let them sit in their shell to cure for about 2 weeks because apparently they dry out and they shrink inside
oh,
the shell.
Oh,
so
that's why they look all shrivelly.
Exactly. So it's a
okay.
lot easier for you to crack the shell and get them open.
Now, Niv just posted in the chat room something really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to go through this hassle,
mm-hmm.
and if you're willing to go through this hassle, the odds are that you're some kind of crafter, whether a crocheter or a knitter.
Mm-hmm.
The dye that you're discussing that's inside the pod that holds the walnut is great for dyeing wool.
That's true. I did read that. That the inside stuff is great for staining wood. They used to use it for staining wood, dyeing your hair.
Sure.
During World War II in
how Italian.
In Britain and in other countries that were affected by World War II, and they had such shortages,
sure.
women would actually seek out these black walnut pod casings in order to, you know, concoct some sort of hair dye.
Now, is this really the only way? You can't, like, take, you know, a really good chef's knife or something or a cleaver?
You cannot cut through these things. They are tough
wow.
as, like, rubber tires. And the other thing I saw was to take put them like two or three of them on a piece of wood and take a brick and bash them until you get the green casings open. I mean, it's really primal. Can you see me out in the yard bashing the walnut thing?
What is that movement, that caveman movement where they eat?
The paleo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like something you'd see them all doing.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
A group walnut mm-hmm. uncasing. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the difference between the walnuts that you get in a bag, the diamond walnuts that you get in the bag for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and a black walnut?
They are black walnuts.
Oh, they are black walnuts.
Yep,
okay.
One and the same. And you know how expensive walnuts are.
Yeah, I can see why now.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing. Niv is also saying that pecans are
yes.
very hard to harvest as well.
Yes.
And I know they're expensive too.
Yes.
When I saw why a cashew is so expensive,
mm-hmm.
that is like you get like five
mm-hmm.
from the plant.
Yeah.
And there's this giant thing that hangs down from the crescent moon cashew that has nothing to do with eating the cashew.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I always thought, my God, they're nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they so bloody expensive? Mm-hmm. Why is it so expensive to buy some hazelnuts?
Right.
They're probably all this crazy.
It could be. I get the impression that nuts are not that easy to harvest after what I was reading today. So I may be going to send the kids probably tomorrow afternoon over. I tried to get them to do it today, but it was kind of chilly and overcast today. And they didn't
want to
be outside.
Yeah, it looked like it was
going
to rain.
Yeah, it did kind of spritz here once or twice in the afternoon, but it didn't really rain.
Right.
And so I'll probably send them out tomorrow to pick up a bunch of walnuts off the lawn, and then we'll be running them over with the car.
No, I think what you should do. No, maybe this isn't a good idea. Nikki and Zach are kind of young. I was going to say put them in a bag, not necessarily
mm-hmm.
a Ziploc bag because they're a little thin, but something a little bit stronger than that, and give them a hammer.
Mm.
And let them beat on the bag with the hammer, but with your luck, they'll hammer
each other's
hands.
They would start beating each other. Giving them a weapon is not a good idea.
No. Yeah. I mean, I could do that with, I don't even know if I'd do it with my 20-year-olds. They'd end up hitting each other, so no, maybe not. I love them, but the minute one of them says something off-color to the other, it's all
uh-huh.
over.
Yeah,
it's all over.
Yeah.
Your daughter can tell you. They're going fine, and then all of a sudden it's like, your feet smell, and the next thing you know, they're beating on each other. It's terrible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Any old two, huh? Also, and this is funny, okay, there's a craft idea that has been flying around Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses the old-fashioned trick-or-treat pumpkin pails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you probably have seen it. Basically, all you need is one piece of rebar, five of these plastic pumpkins, and what you do is you run the rebar through the pumpkin so that each of them is on an alternating angle. One is tilted
mm-hmm.
left, one is tilted right. One is tilted left, one is tilted right.
Mm-hmm.
They do it with five of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they bury the rebar into one of those big half-barrel planters.
Okay.
Now, you could even, not the whole thing. The pumpkins are sticking out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, they're on top. Now, you could probably embed it in the ground if your ground's not too hard yet. And
mm-hmm.
then what they do is they fill the heads, the pumpkins, with mums or some seagrass or my new favorite thing is ornamental peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like the ornamental peppers make them look like they have spiked hair like Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put the long hair on the ones at the top, they look like girls with long hair if you use the seagrass. Here in Jersey, nobody had any orange pumpkins left. And all the women in the craft stores were like, I don't understand it. We can't keep them in stock. I found them in Target. In the back corner, they have them in black and they have them in orange. So anybody who's listening who was trying to find the pumpkins to do this craft idea that's, all over Facebook, Target has the pumpkins and they're only a dollar.
Nice.
The sad part is I have thrown away hundreds of these pumpkins over the years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, who hasn't?
Right?
Yeah,
I have, as we speak,
I have an orange one, a purple one, and a yellow one, I think, in my laundry room.
You should have a look at this. I posted it on our Facebook page. It would be adorable. You could do it with three.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. But what an adorable thing for Persephone to do.
Yeah,
and then my thought is, if you just turn the planter around after Halloween, they're just pumpkins,
mm-hmm.
and it's perfectly good to take you through Thanksgiving.
Absolutely, yeah.
I do that with a lot of my things. I have a beautiful terracotta jack-o'-lantern,
mm-hmm.
and I hate having to put it away. I mean, it's huge. It's bigger than a soup tureen. It's a big terracotta pumpkin. I hate putting it away after Halloween, so I turn it around. I put it in a corner so the jack-o'-lantern part doesn't show,
mm-hmm.
and then it's just the pumpkin part for the rest of the fall season.
Mm-hmm.
That's another little helpful Maybon hint.
Mm-hmm.
Any pumpkins that you have that you cut out, that are fake, whatever, just turn them around and leave
yeah.
them on your porch.
Yep.
Because,
yeah.
you know, it
One of the,
costs a lot of money to go buy more pumpkins.
Yeah. One of the few sad things about where I live is because we are so out in the country,
mm-hmm.
nobody comes trick-or-treating to our door. So there's no
right.
point in decorating, really. We
right.
put some stuff in the windows, but we don't get, like, if we lived in town, I would do the front yard.
It'd be done up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to decorate it when I didn't have kids, you know, so, but yeah, so I kind of miss doing that. But other than that, as a matter of fact, we
yeah.
have to start working on some Halloween decorations for the windows.
Yeah, I know it's horrible here too. Ever since Sandy,
mm-hmm.
Before Sandy, hundreds of trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
And then all over the area when Sandy hit, and they had to postpone Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
The churches all offered their parking lots for trunk or treat.
Right.
And now it's becoming this thing where they really decorate their vehicles, and they do it out in California a lot. My nephew's been doing it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the kids all go there because the moms can drive them to one place. They can do 25 cars.
Yeah, and they're done.
Now, mm-hmm. I decorate my house because I still have people, and now they're the grown-ups. They were
right.
the kids when my kids were kids. Excuse me. And what happened is they used to love coming to our house because we always had such cool decorations. They're bringing their kids to my house.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like I have to do something every year because they always come to see the fancy pumpkins that Ron carves. And
mm-hmm.
the little, you know, we have a setup for a cemetery, and then we have a setup for something pretty. You know, we vote, you know, because you've been to our house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that now I can't not do it because people actually drive by with Ron's little, you know, Ron's little decorations for each holiday.
Mm-hmm.
They drive by now and they go, why didn't you do anything for Easter? Or
mm-hmm.
why didn't you have anything up for 4th of July?
Hmm.
It's hysterical. They'll find me in the supermarket and want to know why we didn't decorate this year. Is everybody okay? One of the other things that I did see on Facebook that Niv just brought up that really, really... do you know what mercury glass is?
No.
Okay. It's the glass that looks almost like a mirror, but it looks like a mirror that's been in an old house for years and it's mottled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happens is, you take those same dollar store pumpkins, okay, and not the dollar store pumpkins, the foam pumpkins that you
mm-hmm.
can get at the craft store.
Right.
You paint them white, and then you spray them with metallic silver spray paint.
Mm-hmm.
They look exactly like mercury glass, but they don't break.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about having them on the front porch. You don't have to worry about having them on a table when you have
mm-hmm.
cats. You don't have to worry about any of that because they just
mm-hmm.
don't break.
Hmm. Cool.
Yep. And they're absolutely gorgeous. I'm going to do that 1 year, too. But I just have so much going on right now.
Niv,
I'll be lucky.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Niv just posted something in the chat room about she's having a hard time finding broom straw. Well, at this time of year, if you can find a field with tall
mm-hmm.
grass growing in it, that's what I always did, and you know we made brooms, and you still have the brooms we made, what, 15
Absolutely.
Years ago?
I do.
In your living room?
They they give me gifts of stuff. I have to vacuum up constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, pretty much. What's starting to happen now is that the broom handle has gotten so dried out that it's loose. So
yeah.
the straw is falling down.
Yeah.
I may have to burn them at the end
mm-hmm.
of the season, definitely
yeah.
by next year. But
yeah.
you know what we did? If you have any water areas, because remember we went down the street from my house along the bay,
mm-hmm.
and we got a lot of the seagrass right there from down by the bay.
That's right.
Now, I know you don't have ocean where you are, but
right.
I know you have that beautiful park. Is there any tall grass there that you'd be allowed
oh,
to
yeah.
cut down?
Oh, yeah. There's riversides, you know, where the tall grass grows.
Mm-hmm.
There are fields along
sometimes
roadside.
Along the highway.
Yep, exactly.
You know, and you, it's, if you're doing it for an ornamental purpose or
mm-hmm.
you're doing it for, you know, not an actual sweeping broom,
right?
You can use a lot of different grasses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said before, you can, you know, cut your lavender way down, add some of that. You
right.
can even use some twigs as, you know, just to give it a sturdiness and then wind whatever grasses you can find. Or you can
mm-hmm.
just let your own... Oh, she said she has cattails. Those would be awesome.
No, you're not allowed to cut cattails. Cattails are considered an endangered plant.
Now, what if you have them in your yard and they're all dried out and they're dying? Can't you prune them back?
I don't know. I just know that that was a huge thing in New Jersey like 10, 15 years ago.
Okay. Because you know my lupins.
You cannot cut cattails.
My lupin stalks would be
mm-hmm.
perfect for brooms, just cutting off all the pods.
Mm-hmm.
And just using those stalks because they're great and they're sturdy. They'd be good for brooms.
Yeah.
You wouldn't cut them. You wouldn't want them natural because they ooze
mm-hmm.
all kinds of lovely plant stuff.
Yeah.
But once they're dry, they'd be awesome. And you need to cut them back for the lupins to come back.
Right.
So I don't know how cattail works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I just know that... if you get caught cutting cattails at the roadside or in a pond or
okay.
somewhere like that, you can get in trouble.
Okay.
The
other thing you could try is try some of your garden centers, not the big ones, but
mm-hmm.
like we have a new one here in town that's, he's a landscaper.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a little garden store right where the Barnegat Trail is, and it's adorable. If you know a landscaper, he may be getting people's lawns ready for the winter. And they may have tons of grasses and stuff that he'd be happy to get rid of.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, when we first moved into this house, there were, I think that the people who owned this house before, they had teenagers. And I've noticed that the two windows in the house that you could have crawled out of and put your foot right on the ground, you know, right
mm-hmm.
outside,
mm-hmm.
the sashes were cut in those windows to make it harder to get out. And there, he had planted ornamental, like that sharp seagrass
uh-huh.
that, like that would that cuts your legs if you walk in it, right outside those windows.
Smart parent.
And I did not like them because, you know, we had a toddler at the time, a little one, and she would go up and she'd touch it and she'd cut her fingers and stuff. So I had
sure.
him cut them down, not thinking that they would be great for making brooms and stuff, but and I thought they would grow back, but they have never grown back once we cut them down. So,
you know, I bet my father would have loved to know that because my bedroom window, I had to climb up on the bed and crawl out my bedroom window because the front of my house is a higher grade. The front of my parents' house is a higher grade than the back,
mm-hmm.
which is similar to yours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, except those windows that were by the upgrade in the front weren't, you know, they were down on the ground. And
mm-hmm.
it was pretty awesome because I'd get out a lot.
I never did that. My room was in the attic, and there was just no way for me to sneak
you
out.
You
just
went out.
Yeah,
you
I
didn't have
out.
A problem.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just went out.
My father
my
used
problem
to
was
sleep.
Coming home. I just never came
yeah.
home.
My father used to sleep in the couch in the den outside my bedroom window because he knew I was pulling shenanigans.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, bless that man for putting up with me.
Well, yeah, that's what we do as parents, don't we?
Yeah, we do. But you know what? It's funny because things are so different now
mm-hmm.
that stuff that my parents would have been like, oh, heck no. I'm just like, make sure you test your sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
yeah.
It's
and make sure
crazy.
You wrap it before you do anything.
yeah, you know. Well, I mean, on that note, if you ask Adam what a condom is,
mm-hmm.
he says it's something you wear if you love your mother.
Good boy.
Now, he remembered that for many years. I don't know if he would necessarily remember it now. If you said it to him, if you mm-hmm. asked him, what would you wear if you loved your mother, he would mm-hmm. he would say, well, it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's cute.
One last craft idea that I had that I just have to share real quick because I know we're getting close to the wire,
mm-hmm.
Because it reminds me of a sunflower. The same seed corn.
Mm-hmm.
You get one of those, either the wreaths that are made out of the rattan, or you could use a wire one,
mm-hmm.
and you wire the corn in a circle, husks out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you do it like a clock, and you go around this wire, this circular wire form, and you wire them in as many close together as you can. And with the husks on the outside, it looks like a giant sunflower. Because your sunflower has that wispy stuff on the outside of the flower, and then the
mm-hmm.
inside, the yellow's on the outside, the inside's all black.
Right.
So the feed corn works like the black, and the husks, they're the husks pulled back, work as the decorative edge, and it makes the loveliest wreath.
Hmm.
So you guys got to go check out my pictures on the Facebook page, because so nice.
I will definitely do that.
And I think it's easy stuff that you can get very inexpensively and have fun doing. And if you keep it, I think if you kept it in your basement
mm-hmm.
and you could lay it flat, I think you'd be able to use it for more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're, it's dried.
Yeah.
It, like my pine cone wreath in my house. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? If you kept it somewhere where it wouldn't get too damp or moldy, it would probably, you'd be able to take it out every year. You could even maybe hang it on the wall down there.
Yeah.
And
cool.
It'd be nice, because it's nice if you have things that you can bring back every year, especially like, you know, if Perry makes it with one of her friends and then they move,
right. yeah.
she'll have it all the time and remember
yeah.
how she made it with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are a lot of work, especially my pine cone wreath. I mean, it took
mm-hmm.
my mom and I days to make it. But
mm-hmm.
I've had it for 27 years, and I just don't move it anymore.
Yeah.
I periodically go up there with the vacuum, and I suck off some of the dust around the edges. Because if I take it down, it's crumbly. It's
yeah.
old.
Yeah.
But it's one of the most beautiful things in my house, because it came from
mm-hmm.
their backyard.
Yeah.
With all the scrub pines they had in their backyard. So
yeah.
That's another thing you can make, too, is a pine cone wreath. And it's great for this time of year because the pine cones are starting to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can, you know, we decorate it for Christmas. We decorate it for holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a raffia bow that sits on it.
And
if
you want your pine cones to smell like cinnamon, which so many people seem to want,
mm-hmm.
you can go to the health food store and buy some cassia oil or some cinnamon oil, which is the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Put a few drops in there.
That's right, and put a few drops in there, and you can renew that. Periodically, or you can
sure.
just really saturate them, and they'll smell like that for a long time.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
It's not expensive. You know, I don't know what a bottle of cassia oil goes for now, but maybe $5, certainly less
than
10.
And the thing is, you don't have to buy two. They sell the stuff in the large bottles. If you
mm-hmm.
go to a good store like the one by me, you
mm-hmm.
can just get a dram.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to get, so I mean, you could get a small amount. You don't have to spend a fortune if it did happen to be a little expensive.
Right.
One thing that Niv just posted is you can spray it with hairspray. And that is a good point. Hairspray or spray shellac,
mm-hmm.
any of those things will help lock it in.
Yeah.
It'll also help with dusting, too, if you're going to have something that you're going to keep in the house.
Right.
It's 11:01, and I'm being bombarded with business.
Okay. All righty. I guess it's time to say goodnight. We have so much. You know, whenever we do these shows about crafts and recipes and stuff, I have like four recipes we didn't even talk about.
Aww.
So
let's do some more next week.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Because because we're still in plenty of time going into the holiday, and who knows, I might be loopy. No, next week I won't be loopy. The week after I might be loopy. We don't know yet.
We'll see.
If we follow through next week, then neither one of us has to worry about a crush this week while we're both busy.
Agreed.
And hopefully people out there will have good ideas for us, and they'll send in some notes too.
And maybe next week people will call in with their own stuff that they did for Maybon, that they want to do for the fall. You know, this isn't just Maybon, and as Terry is fond of saying, Maybon is not just one day.
Right.
As the wheel turns for each holiday, you have the holiday of Maybon, and then until the next holiday, it's still Maybon.
That's correct.
So you can celebrate it every weekend if you want.
You can spread it all the way through till Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Even though we hit Samhain, you can still hold that all the way through to the regular Thanksgiving.
It's the fall, and it's the harvest, and it's that time of year to be grateful, thankful. And I am certainly grateful for your friendship.
Oh, and so am I.
I know. And just, you know, thankful for my life and all the good things in it, including Terry and you and my daughter Persephone. And so
I'm even thankful for Terry.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that.
I am. I'm thankful for Terry, too, because between you and my mother, I can't handle my single friends. So I'm so thankful for Ed and Terry. You have no idea. Okay, so if you need to reach us, if you have any comments about anything we talked about tonight, or if you have any comments about the radio station at all, please feel free to contact us at cern.org@gmail.com. If you have some ideas to further our conversation on Maybon, please feel free to check us out at Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on Facebook. You can contact Robin and or Terry through littlestonebridge@gmail.com or on their Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page on Facebook, which I believe also carries any places you might be attending, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if somebody were interested in having us attend somewhere to give a workshop, or they wanted to have a group, or they had, you know, some employees or something that they wanted to take our communication workshop, for example, they could contact us at thelittlestonebridge@gmail.com. Yeah.
Okay.
Email.
And last but not least, don't forget that you can always find out information about the station at the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook, and you can always reach us here at spiritualunityradionetwork.org. I contacted through Blog Talk Radio. I don't know why. That's the way it works for me. But anyway, please send us some information. Tell us what you made. Tell us if you cooked some really good food with a current root vegetable or something that your family has always done for Maybon or Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We would love to hear about your ideas. Post them on the Facebook page, or please call in. We'd love to hear some new voices. It would be great. We're tired of talking to each other. Well, not really, but we can talk to each other all day, as Terry can attest. He's always like, when are you getting off the phone?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's sending you radical text messages going, we're over by 5 minutes.
No, actually, he hasn't sent me one.
Oh, good for him.
Love you,
Terry.
He's just bothering you.
Love you, Terry. All right. Well, we are done for today. And I will talk to you tomorrow, I hope. Well, no, not tomorrow, because I'm babysitting Poopsie.
Okay.
But I'm going to call you Wednesday after my doctor appointment. How's that?
Okay. That's excellent. Yes, because I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, because, hey, and everybody out there, say a prayer. My stupid doctor is making me do a second EKG, and the first one came out normal, so I don't know what his problem is.
Yeah.
So send me some good vibes that either I laughed too hard at the last person who did my EKG, or I was just so nervous that I made myself crazy because I've never had an EKG problem.
You're going to be fine, sweetie.
Oh, I don't feel like I'm not going to be fine. I just feel like if this messes up my knee surgery, I'm going to be a very angry girl.
So you're telling me I want to
walk again.
And run. Yes.
I know. I want to come and be able to see you. I want to be able to go to a festival with you.
I know. I can't wait to be able to take you around and show you off and intro
you to
people.
Go to the lake.
People. Yeah,
I
want to
see your lake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy sauce. I want to go up to Rachel's.
Mm-hmm.
The kittens are like 3 weeks old. They're adorable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
She's going to be here at my house this weekend. I'm really excited.
Oh, thanks. Okay. I'll talk to y'all later.
she's doing an event locally in Williamsport.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that.
Yep. So she's going to.
All right. Well,
you
give her a big hug for me and tell her I wish I was there.
Okay, I will.
And everybody out there, think good thoughts for me.
That's right. And as always, have a great week. We'll see you next Monday. And spread the love.
The love. Take it easy.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.